You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A number of experts have raised concerns recently regarding the way too friendly relationship between alcohol industry lobbyists and policymakers responsible for alcohol restrictions and laws in New Zealand. While we have had an alcohol harm reduction levy in place for over 40 years, some experts, including University of Auckland School of Population Health Professor Peter Adams, believe that this levy isn't as positive as it seems. As alcohol lobbyists have been granted input and influence in the development of alcohol policies, Adams says that the levy is actually a smokescreen that allows the industry to profit from alcohol consumption without tangibly addressing its harms to the population. On Monday, producer Sam spoke with Professor Peter Adams about this topic. Here is that interview.
To start, as a broad question, what is the alcohol levy?
The alcohol levy is a levy that's put on consumption of alcohol, and that's done through through excise, so looking at how much is consumed legally in the country in terms of alcohol. So traditionally, it's been sort of hovering between $10 to $12 million a year over the last 30 years, but in the last year they increased it to $16 million a year. So they've been, and that levy is a what I'd call a harm reduction levy. So it's a levy where you take money off the consumption for the purposes of dealing with the harm from those consumptions. Yeah, so it differs from other forms of levy, like the levy on, which is a levy to try and increase the product, or a levy that goes to a general health promotion or health fund.
Since the alcohol industry's lobbying at the Ministry of Health came to light, new rules of engagement for health officials had been announced. How much of an impact will these rules have on mitigating future conflicts of interest?
Well, this is the area that I research in, and the area we call it, the WHO calls it, or the World Health Organization calls it, commercial determinants of health. And over the last, say, 10 years, there's been a huge increase in research in this area. And what we're particularly interested in is how unhealthy commodity industries like alcohol, tobacco, food and gambling are able to promote industry-friendly policy. How do they achieve that? And the main thing is they achieve it by forming influential relationships with policymakers, particularly politicians. So that's what I've been very interested in, is how this is achieved. So we've been interviewing a lot of politicians and government officials about the ways in which relationships are built between industry representatives and government actors. So, yeah, it's a big area, not just in New Zealand, but also internationally, and it's part of a whole range of things happening. I mean, I guess what my response would be that we have to sort out so many other things if we're going to start cleaning up the house, if you like.
What are we seeing regarding how the alcohol industry is regulated?
Well, I think what matters here, and I don't know if you've looked at the Health Coalition Aotearoa, that's where people involved with population and public are getting together and trying to pull our thinking. One area that we're really concerned about is the way lobbyists work. So lobbyists come in various forms. There is the third-party lobbyist who has many clients, who works on building relationships with government actors. But there's also the industries themselves have their public government relations people. There's also trade associations like the Food and Grocery Council who also lobby. We have virtually no constraints on lobbying in New Zealand. So we're kind of like an open season. Compare us to other similar countries, we seem to be completely devoid of any kind of restraints on how our industry works with government actors.
So why do we have so few regulations on lobbying?
It's been happening like this for a long time. The industries themselves are influential, so they can pretty much influence whether or not any sort of constraints are put in. What we're suggesting as a starting point is that there should be a lobbying register, that there should be a stand-down period between when a politician or other people move from their roles, such as a parliamentary reporter, into being a lobbyist, because that happens with almost immediately. So people with very strong relationships within government are able to trade on those and become lobbyists and help industry form close relationships in Parliament. We also say there should be some form of, and I think this is particularly important, some point of accountability, because there isn't a real point of accountability. And if we were to introduce a code for lobbyists, we would need an organisation with independence. So some places, like in Ireland, they've set up the equivalent of an integrity commission, or a point at which the integrity of relationships is monitored and policed, and the sort of practices that are happening now are being challenged. So these you'll find on the Health Coalition Aotearoa, there is a move to try and push some of these changes into the government sector. At the moment, it's pretty tough, but I think over time, particularly when you get revelations like Guyon just got with seeing direct relationships between government officials and the alcohol industry, when you get more and more of that happening, we do need to really think about tightening up and improving the way in which we handle conflicts of interest and undue influence within government.
During Jacinda Ardern's first term, then National Party leader Simon Bridges was caught breaking campaign financing rules. But Ardern said our system needed no changes. What does this say about both major parties?
Yes, both major parties don't toe the line when it comes to looking at the integrity of what's going on. Yeah, it's sort of all part of the problem, because industry has built strong relationships within government, and therefore they don't. Both sides of the equation are benefiting to some extent, and no one wants to rock the boat in those spaces. There was a attempt by the previous government to look at lobbying more closely, and the Justice Department started a review, but that's been shelved, and the only thing I think that's coming out of it, or probably will come out of it, will be a voluntary code of conduct for lobbyists. But I think the history of voluntary codes is that they're often there for pressing than for really making a difference of what's going on. So at the moment, there's not a lot happening, and both parties seem reasonably happy to let it carry on as it does.
What would you like to see changed about the alcohol levy?
With the alcohol levy, my view is that we shouldn't have one. I've been involved with both the alcohol and the gambling levy for most of the time that they've been around. I about 20 years ago, I started to realise what was going on and pulled away from funding from them. It's an unusual arrangement. Other countries haven't got harm reduction levies. There's maybe Thailand, Korea had one for a while. Vic Health in Australia had one for a short period from tobacco. The problem is that what happens is that the levies are put into reducing harm, but it's usually the reduction in harm is there more for appearance than anything. And it tends to go not in the direction of public health, but more in the direction of individualised approaches, alcohol awareness, campaigns, etc., which really favour the industry. And in fact, many other countries around the world have what they call industry front groups that fund things like drink driving campaigns, youth drinking, alcohol awareness campaigns. And the industry fund them themselves for two reasons. The first reason is to make it look as if they're doing something about what the harm that their product does. And the second reason is to make sure that people attribute the problems to individuals, not to the product or the systems in which they're sold. So they're willing overseas to invest millions and millions in setting up exactly what our government's setting up with the levy. But it's a smokescreen that firstly pretends that something's been done, and secondly, that pushes things in the direction of individualised approaches, which we know not to be effective. I mean, one of the areas that in the 40 years I've been involved with alcohol, when I first started, the research was already there that alcohol education was ineffective. And yet, 40 years later, we're still putting money into alcohol education through schools and other programs. And the research has just got stronger and stronger in terms of effectiveness, rather than looking at the real key drivers for change, which are pricing, availability, and constraints on marketing. The industry's been very successful in using these programs to divert attention from what really makes a difference. Sorry, that was a long explanation.
What needs to change so that alcohol companies cannot have so much sway in alcohol regulation in the country?
Well, again, it goes back to how they connect with the politicians. And we need to have stronger measures that restrict that influence. I think, again, like the step-down period, a register, an integrity monitoring body, all those things are key to reducing the extent that, or the freedom that industry has to influence policy making more than the public has, so that the public have less influence than the industry itself, which is what really is sort of essential to a democracy, I think, is that the public have a stronger say than industrial influences.
That was my final question. Is there anything you would like to add?
We teach in this area a lot. We have courses on it. We have quite a bit of research. In fact, a lot of my colleagues are doing it in different areas, and some are doing it looking at the influence of the food industry. Others are looking at tobacco industry and vaping. And others, like myself, are looking at alcohol and gambling and the way in which those industries influence policy making. So it's a pretty important part of public health. And our school has quite a number of people who are active in research in this space.
That was University of Auckland Professor of Population Health, Peter Adams, on alcohol industry lobbying and the ineffectiveness of the alcohol levy.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.